My name is Maydell Boulart. This is the History of My Life, Part 1. I was born in the San Francisco County Hospital along with my twin brother in 1933 during the middle of the Great Depression. My father, who was a blue-collar worker, lost his job 6 months before, and my family had moved in with my maternal grandparents. My father was born into a large family whose parents had emigrated from the country of Wales in the British Isles to the state of Connecticut on the East Coast. When my father was 12 years old, his mother died in childbirth. Everything fell apart in the family without the mother's stable influence. Unable to tolerate the situation, he ran away from home and rode the rails throughout his teenage years. When he was 18, he joined the Army during the First World War. 6 months later, the war ended, so he joined the Merchant Marines for a few years. He then found a job on the mainland in the San Francisco Bay Area, where he met and married my mother. He was to be a blue-collar worker all his life until he retired. On my mother's side, when she was 5 years old, her hearing became impaired after coming down with a mumps. She was also nearsighted. Everything beyond 4 or 5 feet was a misty blur. Her teachers would invariably place her in the back of the classroom. Not being able to hear or see well, her school education became a lost cause. So after the 5th grade, she refused to go back to school. My growing up years was definitely not in the lap of luxury, as some people seem to think. I early on learned that if you wanted something, you had to work for it or do without. I was fortunate to have a mother who had many talents and abilities in spite of her handicaps. My mom was a great cook, seamstress, innovator, loved classical music that she listened to in secret, could stretch a dollar to the power of 10, was a great reader and gardener. She could do just about anything she set her mind to. I have the utmost admiration and love for my mother. I was told that when my mother passed away at the age of 95, she was escorted in her light body to her rightful place in the heaven world by the Ascended Lady Master, Rose of Light. My father never really overcame his handicaps until his later years after I left home, and then only partially. He was probably the most honest person you would ever meet, but his early years weighed heavily upon him for most of his life. When I was 4 years old, our family of five moved into their four-room house on the outskirts of Oakland, California. I found it rather depressing as it was furnished in second and third-hand furniture in drab colors of gray or brown. When there was finally enough money to spare, my mother brightened up the house with paint and colorful curtains that she made herself. This was to be my home for the next 20 years, with the exception of when I was between 20 and 21, when I was briefly married to an Air Force policeman. It was a karmic situation where I had to learn total, unconditional forgiveness if I was to survive in this life. At the age of 10, my mother made arrangements for piano lessons, which I was to earn by ironing clothes for the music teacher. At 12, I became a babysitter. When I was 14, I began to make my own clothes using the money I earned as a babysitter to purchase the material. At 16, I began working as an usherette in the local movie theater. After 6 months or so, I was upgraded to being a cashier. That was when I was able to save up enough money to purchase ready-made clothes for the very first time. After graduating from high school, I began working in the engineering department of the Pacific Telephone Company as a drafting clerk. Towards the end of my employ, I was being trained to be an engineering assistant. I worked for the telephone company for 13 years. I became a full-time housewife when my first child was born in 1964. I met my future second husband just before I applied for a divorce from my first husband. My first husband had been stationed in Korea for about a year and a half, and had renewed his relationship with a former Japanese girlfriend he had met in his first tour of duty in Korea. When she became pregnant, he wrote me a letter and said he wanted a divorce and to get it in Reno. I wrote back that he could have his divorce, but it would be in California. I also canceled my allotment check as he would be needing the money for his new responsibilities. I was part of a carpool at the time, and my future second husband, who also worked for the telephone company, would temporarily join us for 2 weeks while his car was in the shop. When he saw I wasn't wearing my wedding ring one day and asked why, I told him I was getting a divorce. On his last day in the carpool, he asked me for a date. We were married a year and a half later. That was to last 33 years. It turned out to be a good partnership, but there were serious difficulties in the last 11 years of our marriage when I became involved in the Ascended Master teachings. 6 months before our wedding date, we started looking for a fixer-upper as our first home. We found what we were looking for in a place called Castro Valley. It was selling for $7,200. Between us, we had saved up $3,600 and used that as our down payment. My future husband then worked weekends and holidays to bring the house to where it was livable. After we were married, we lived on my husband's income and used mine to pay off the mortgage. It took only 2 years and we were mortgage-free. We lived there 5 years and then sold it for over double the original cost. We moved into a brand new apartment and lived there for 2 years. I then became pregnant for the first time, so we decided it was time to buy another house. We drew up floor plans for what we wanted to have in our new home. Several months later, we found a house partially built in a cul-de-sac that fit our floor plans to a T. We talked to the builder on what extras we would like to have. The house was advertised at $25,000. The builder said it would cost an additional $6,000 to implement the extras. We reluctantly turned it down because it was beyond what we were willing to spend. Several months later, my husband decided to check out the house that we had been interested in. He found that it was completed and had all the changes we asked for. More amazingly, it was still only $25,000. So we immediately made a down payment with the money we had earned from the first house. We were to live there for 16 years. Our son was born 4 months later after we moved into our new home in 1964, followed 4 years later by a daughter. On my last day of work with the telephone company, my husband was promoted to that of supervisor. My husband had the desire for many years to build a vacation house in the woods. A friend of his had recommended a certain resort called Pine Acres, located in Amador County, in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada Mountains. We took a trip there, liked what we saw, and decided to look for property in that area. We found a 1.5-acre lot within the resort area that we liked, but didn't have enough money to pay for it. He talked to his three sisters about buying 1.5 acres each. Two of them opted to make the purchase, which allowed us to buy our 1.5 acre. My husband purchased a small used RV trailer to sleep in while he built our vacation home on the weekends. After getting permission from the owner, he literally tore down two buildings by hand in the area where we lived that had been condemned and salvaged most of the material he would need to build the vacation home. The new property was a 2-hour drive from our house where he had to haul all his material. My husband and I were not into borrowing money, so we paid as we went. That meant we were very frugal with our money and didn't waste it on things that were not a necessity. We lived entirely within our means to fulfill my husband's dream. We were both involved in the building and furnishing of our vacation home. My husband determined the outer measurements. I drew up the floor plans and the outer walls according to his outer specifications. He built the structure. I made all the drapes and curtains. I also painted a mural on the kitchen dinette wall of a scene from the story of Cinderella. It turned out to be an eye catcher. He did most of the inside painting. I selected all the ceiling fixtures and wallpaper in the bathrooms and kitchen and determined what colors, if any, that we would paint the walls. I selected the carpeting, and he did all the plumbing and electrical. We both had a hand in selecting the furniture. It turned out to be a very lovely vacation home, and we received many compliments on it. And we're also able to avoid borrowing any money in the entire process. At the beginning of 1976, I began weekly lessons in oil painting, learning the different techniques and applying various mediums. It turned out I had a talent for oil painting, and over the next 4 years, I created around 45 to 50 oil paintings, which became a full gallery wall of pictures. I also used them in our vacation home as part of the decor. Many of the best paintings were sold or given away as presents. In 1978, one of his sisters, who had purchased one of the half acres, lost her husband and asked if we would buy her piece of property, as she would never use it. We did, and my husband decided to build a spec house on it. The previous year, in 1977, I had made contact with the Ascended Master Teachings. And in the beginning of 1979, a local group contacted me. It was only a mile away from my home, and I began to attend services once a week. I was planning on attending my first conference in the summer of 1979, and I was very excited about it. My children were 11 and 15, so I believed that they would be all right while I was gone for a few days. Unfortunately, I forgot to notify my parents that I would be gone that week. They had dinner with my family every Friday night, and so they naturally showed up for dinner, and I wasn't there. This was very upsetting for my parents, husband, and children, as they didn't know anything about my involvement with the Ascended Masters or what was going on. This was the situation I faced when I returned home. To make matters worse, this was at a time when various cults were in the news, and stories of people being duped out of all their money and possessions were making headlines. That was what my husband was thinking, that he was going to be stripped of all that he had worked so hard for. This took away all interest in building a spec house, which was already partially built. My husband was a member of the Catholic Church. He contacted them for advice and was referred to the church psychologist. She suggested he bring me with him when I returned home, which he did. After asking a lot of questions of both of us, it was the conclusion of the psychologist that as my husband trusted me with everything else that he held of value, then he should also trust me in my choice of a spiritual path. This definitely wasn't what my husband wanted to hear, but I thought it was the perfect answer. Unfortunately, this episode was to color our relationship for the next 11 years. I would be threatened with divorce a number of times throughout the rest of our marriage. The following year after this episode, he was notified by the telephone company that he was being transferred to Amador County in August. That galvanized him into completing the partially built spec house as quickly as possible, so we would have a place to live. We sold the vacation home to raise the money to finish building the spec house. The house was completed on time, so we were able to move in immediately. Our home in Castro Valley was purchased by his company for $122,000. We would have to invest this money in another home within 2 years in order to avoid paying taxes. In the meantime, the home we were now living in was quite lovely and was to be my husband's favorite house. We worked together in the same way we did with a vacation home. I did the designing, he did the physical work, and so on. A few months after moving into the spec house, I developed the inability to breathe through my nose that was to last 10 years. This was a karmic condition that showed up on the palm of my right hand. If I hadn't found the teachings, the condition would have been far worse. and I wouldn't have survived beyond the 10-year period. We found a lovely 5-acre property in a small valley of a new subdivision about 10 miles away that was perfect for our next home. My husband determined to build a new house on the side of the hill, leaving the flat part of the property to plant an orchard of walnut trees with various fruit trees going up the slope on either side of the driveway. The property was surrounded by oak and pine trees. As usual, my husband determined the size of the outer circumference, and I made a floor plan that would fit within the given dimensions. It was to be a split-level house. My husband had to get help on this one from his nephew-in-law, who was a professional builder. My husband also built himself a very large workshop on the property as he was going into the cabinet-making business in preparation for retirement from the telephone company. I was to live in this house for the next 8 years. It was the nicest of all the houses we had lived in during our married life, and like all the others, we owned it free and clear. I had my own personal prayer room off our bedroom, where a permanent tangible pillar or column of light, unseen but felt, surrounded the chair I sat in during my prayer sessions. This was something I had never experienced before in any of our other homes. It probably manifested because this room was dedicated solely to this purpose. In 1990, I wanted to go to Montana to participate in a 2-month prayer vigil. My husband threatened a divorce once more if I did, and this time I acquiesced. I left my home and moved to Montana to begin a new and different way of life at the age of 56. I had just enough money to purchase and furnish a new double-wide mobile home to be placed on previously leased property. I would have to subsist on $800 to $900 a month until our California home was sold, which would take another 4 years to be accomplished. It was the beginning of a new and exciting experience for me in which I flourished, and is the beginning of the second part of my life story. Our divorce was finalized in April 1991. My former husband was to meet his twin flame 6 months later, unknown to themselves, and were married in 1992. He built 2 more houses before making his transition 7 years later in 1999 at the age of 72. In 1987, 12 years before his death, he emphatically told me that he would never, ever believe in the Ascended Masters or the Violet Flame in 1,000 years. So naturally, after his passing, where should he end up but in the etheric retreat of Saint Germain to become illumined? He has since re-embodied and will at some point become acquainted with the Ascended Master teachings when the time is right. This ends part one of the story of my life.
Thank you, Maydell. What a beautiful story you have given us.
Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. It was my joy.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.